Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to another episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I'm joined by Sally Beaton, who is a holistic nutritionist and life coach, i.e. a sparkle coach. Sally is an international speaker, the CEO of Women with Sparkle, and coaches women all over the world to reach their full potential because she believes that every woman deserves to live with vitality, confidence, passion, and purpose. She has a special interest in teaching women how to understand and work with their health and hormones so that they can truly thrive in business and in life. Hey, Sally.
Hi, lovely.
Thank you for coming and joining me for this conversation.
Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure.
What does adulting mean to you, or what is being an adult all about?
Okay, so adulting to me probably means having to do boring stuff, having to possibly go through crap stuff, but never believing that life or my life is boring and crap.
I love that. Was there a time when you did think adulting was boring and crap?
Yeah, and I have days where I still do, because I see, like, I love youthfulness and childlikeness, and so I kind of see quite a big contrast with that. And then the word adult, I associate kind of things that I don't like admin and, you know, me having to look after other people and things instead of me getting looked after. But like I said, when I realize that there's not a kind of cutoff point of youthfulness and then age and being an adult, and that you can bring that fun and that sparkle and, you know, play into being an adult, there doesn't need to be a big kind of schism. And yeah, I really believe that being an adult isn't crap.
No, it's really interesting because there were, I'm pausing because I'm like, I got bored way more as a kid than I did as an adult. And like, there were so many crap bits of being a kid that there aren't as being an adult. So as a kid, it was like, do this, do that, go to a room, you know, all of those kinds of things. Whereas as an adult, I'm in charge of my destiny and it's up to me, and that I'm not waiting for somebody else to give me permission to do something. Yes. But only because I've done the work and I give myself permission to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yes. No, like there is, like, there's this massive side of, really it's the connotations of being an adult rather than the actual lived experience. But like, I will have moments where I'll be sitting on the sofa and I've decided for dinner I'm having chocolate cake, and I'll look at my husband and I'm like, being an adult is amazing, I'm having chocolate cake for dinner, being an adult's amazing. Like you said, that, like, that ownership of your destiny and those choices, and, you know, and the next day I might just want broccoli for dinner and I can do that. There's no one saying this or that. So that element of adulting. But I think for me, like, there being maybe an escalation of, yeah, depends on your specific childhood and then time as being an adult. But for me, I felt like bombarded with, like, oh my God, I don't know how to manage my finances. I don't know where to start with tax and all of that stuff, which to me kind of felt overwhelming when I became an adult. Mm. And I kind of was like, right, well, now I have to be serious, to be taken seriously in business. You know, it has to be the end of me not wearing my hair in buns or bunches. And, you know, obviously I came around to realizing that wasn't true. But it was kind of, I guess, becoming an adult, I kind of had an identity crisis because I was so playful as a child. And then I was like, well, to be successful, I have to pretend I'm not playful, or you know?
So, and what's interesting to me as I hear you speak is that there's so many have to's in that. And like my take on adulting, like actually, is that I really get the responsibility piece. Like, don't get me wrong, I totally do. But when I'm hearing people with like, I have to do this and I have to do that, like to me, that's a really, and I know you won't take this the wrong way, but it's really, it's an immature attitude towards life.
Because
yes. You don't have to do anything, right? Yes. Like you get to take responsibility of your destiny. You get to pay your tax. You get to make more money. You get to, and in your case, like learn about your cycles, learn about your hormones. And I want to talk about this a little bit because I think this is a really interesting thing that kind of, I guess, happened to you, happened for you in your life with the resistance of, potentially the resistance of adulting and that kind of self-awareness. Yeah. That led you into a kind of crash and burn and then tons of new information and exploration and all the rest of it.
Yeah. But so I guess
it feel like that? And for those of people who don't know, do you want to share just a little bit of
I guess becoming an adult for me was a bit of an identity crisis, like I said, because I had been quite mollycoddled and protected in my youth, and I hadn't been very independent. And so when I struck out on my life of independence, and I was like, I thought it was time to prove to the world why I was worthy, try and find this adult identity, which I didn't realize was just inhabiting myself and being my true and best self. I didn't realize that. So I probably had a decade in my 20s of trying to adult, if that makes sense, I guess. Yeah. And getting hammered every night, networking my ass off, like my life depended on meeting the right people to connect with. Mm. And yeah, everyone who met me would say, oh, you're burning the candle at both ends. And I took that as an absolute compliment. You know, I was this whirlwind and I was trying to set up businesses in my 20s, and I was just, I basically checked out of my body so I could push past every physical limit I had to achieve external stuff that I thought at some point I can come back to my body and integrate the two. And what happened is I didn't get that chance because my body crashed and burned before, you know, I'd reached all the dizzying heights of everything I wanted to do. And at 30, I was diagnosed with a fast-growing breast tumor, and I had to give up a lot of those things that I've been doing that I took my identity in, you know, thought I was so cool because I had such cool friends and got invited to such cool parties and was, you know, creating such cool businesses and things like that. I had to give that up, take time out, and decide really, like really seriously, if I wanted to live. And if that was true, then I had to find a new and better way. And that included not leaving my body to try and achieve my business goals, not pushing my body past its limits. And actually, for me, interestingly, I had to acknowledge that I was a woman, which sounds really, really silly. But I'd kind of grown up like idolizing my dad and the way he did business. And I then kind of idolized a lot of businessmen and male coaches and saw this kind of schism in that, like, oh, it's the men who are successful, and they're successful because they do stay out really late and they drink loads and they party loads. And you know, like that's the kind of idea I had. And I didn't realize I was a woman. I didn't realize that I had an actual hormonal cycle that every month was trying to kind of lure me into a new way, a better way of health, mental and physical. And yeah, I always say, I think I got a very female cancer. It's not breast cancer, isn't it, like exclusive to women, but like a very female cancer to remind me, as much as anything, one, I'm mortal, and two, that I'm a woman. So yeah, I then what I did, because I then had a lot of time to think about, you know, my mortality and my life. And the one thing I didn't want to do, which speaking to a lot of people, is people become really fearful about what life holds for them. You know, I had two operations and a treatment plan after that. And then after that, people become very fearful and just wait for the next scan to be told they're okay. And I thought, no, I'm gonna learn what possibly, as much as I can know, caused this, what are the things I can do to hopefully not get it again. And I looked into my female hormones and how to balance them and how to work with them. And yeah, I became really, for me, that was my empowerment as a woman to realize that I had hormones that every month went through a certain cycle that gave me certain physical and mental symptoms. And if I worked with them, my God, like, just amazing.
Extra superpowers,
like literally, like it's amazing. And it's like,
are you in the kind of the clear and good health now?
Yes. So this is maybe 8 years ago. That's why I'm 40 now. And but still, like I said, like I am very empowered to know every day I have the choice to improve my health. Or like, yeah, fuck it up basically. Like it's that's in my power as much as it is this external, before I had a fingers crossed approach. Like hopefully I can do all this to my body and it's just statistical if I get ill or not. And now I know that's not true. We are so much more in charge of, if we understand our bodies, especially as women, we can create amazing health for ourselves and not be scared. Yeah.
And so how do you feel about your identity now?
In terms of as a woman? Or?
I guess the question comes from a place of, in your business, you have a very strong persona, right?
Yeah.
And actually, I've been talking about personas quite a lot with my VIP clients at the moment, because yes, it's an important part of being a business person and a personal brand and still retaining your private life. And I think identity is just a really important part of adulthood, right? Or of life. But as we enter into adulthood, we get the opportunity to choose that identity and yeah, we can play with it. And I'm also a multiple brain integration coach. So I work with your head brain, your heart brain, and your gut brain in all the work that I do. So I always ask about a kind of identity, because I think, I mean, you brought it up at the beginning of the conversation, and I'm just interested to see how it's changed and whether there's conscious personas or whether the part of you that you express as kind of the sparkle coach is you.
Yes, that makes complete sense. So I would say the biggest change has been I just like myself now. I really like myself, and I don't, so this, and again, this is the change, like me becoming a sparkle coach was essentially me coming out, because before I was I dulled down my sparkle to fit in to business frameworks, to get the jobs, to get the clients. My clothes were so sparkleless, you know, like even the way I get, like even the way I present stuff, and it's like, you cannot exist as the person you weren't created to be without that causing some mental or physical damage to your body, I believe. You know, and there's a lot of work into certain autoimmune stuff and things like that, which is the body turning on itself and there being a link with self-hatred. So it's serious. Like us, we think as women, oh, you know, a lot of the time just hating ourselves is part and parcel of being a woman and media messages. And it's more serious than that. Like when our body gets the message that who we truly are cannot be presented to the world, is not acceptable, is not lovable, that's serious to me. And so, like I said, because I've gone on this journey of like, how can I stay in health so I can do what I'm meant to do while I'm here on this earth for this short time? And I realized I just didn't like myself. And the parts I did like, I thought I had to hide, because you can't be sparkly. You can't be wearing a sparkly dress and get taken seriously in business, right? You're not going to get asked to speak at really companies and turn up in a tutu with bunches. Like, you can't do that. And then when I realized you can, because it's about your authenticity and it's about you being at peace with who you are rather than second guessing what other people are going to think of you. Oh, like I said, like my identity of like, I like myself now. And I, instead of dull down that sparkle, dial it up, you know? So it's like, it is an extension of me.
I love that. And it's so important. I often talk about it. You know, I say that the work that I did when I hit my rock bottom was to figure out who the fuck I really was and learn to like it or change until I did. And you've heard me say that. And I think it's, I'm still doing that, you know, that still evolves. But I remember really clearly never believing that someone like me with, you know, and at that point it was who'd never had a proper job, who hadn't worked in corporate, who had pink hair and who was covered in tattoos, would get invited to talk anywhere with men and be taken seriously, right? And I remember I got asked to do a job for a really big corporate, the National Lottery in the UK. And I went in and I wore, and I on purpose had, I always speak on stage with bare feet. So I had bare feet in this room and I was totally being me. And it was that turning point in my head of like, fuck, I didn't think this was possible.
Yes.
And it is, and I'm here. Now what, you know? And I remember when I first started my brand, I really turned up the kind of sweary, tattoo-y person and the kick-ass in my brand. And then I really lent into the be kind, right? So I have these kind of two personas of kick-ass and be kind. And I think it's really interesting for people to look at how you use personas, because sometimes I don't want to show up at work, right? Like I want to go and lie on the sofa or go for a walk or check out completely, because there is that daydreamer in me. And so I've got a persona, like a coat that I can put on that says, hey, it's work time. And are you being, you know, the kick-ass version of you today? Or are you being the kind version of you today? And so I get to embody my work. I get to walk my talk and be authentic, because those parts of me are true parts of me. But just like you said, I get to dial them up. Yeah, I think it's really interesting for people to look at, because I don't think it gets talked about very much. And I think there's people tend to think that when you talk about personas, that we're talking about being pretending.
No, it's the acceptance. So again, this was some important, this me learning about my cycle helped me with this and a lot of the women I work with, because we sometimes, not always, we sometimes mistakenly think we have mental health problems because we don't keep this consistency of who we are, be it our happiness, be it our chilled vibe, whatever it is. We were never meant to be this one, same, consistent, linear person. That's not how women created. We are so interesting and exciting, and we're cyclical, and for our very hormones, we essentially have, before we go through the menopause, but after we go through the menopause, we have this cyclical living as well. But we have essentially 4 weeks, essentially 4 different phases, and in those phases your brain and body chemistry changes in each of them. So essentially, we are 4 different people throughout the month, like in our cells. When I finally understood this, I was like, okay. I thought I was probably near going to the doctor to ask for a diagnosis for bipolar, because I thought, how can I have all this energy, all this like want for life and to be around people and like just be able to go, 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 and then literally be someone I don't recognize and not want to see anyone and need to sleep, you know, more and all of this stuff. So it was like, I had this person I wanted to be, who was the, you know, very kind of out there person. And then this person who was like my hidden secret, who was like a bit moody. Didn't really like it.
Well, you know, this is systemic in a way, because we live in a patriarchy that essentially wants us to be in our summer, or, you know, all of the time. And, you know, I like you and like huge amounts of women that I have spoken to constituted, like, thought of our kind of our autumn, winter, or our slower time as vulnerability, as weakness, as a bad thing, and didn't really, I had no idea of the the treasure to be found in those spaces.
Yeah.
And now actually it's my preferred time. Mm. I actually really, really enjoy the all of the other parts, actually. I'm like, yeah. Some are not so much anymore. I'm like, yeah, I've done that so often. Like, it's really fun to play in the kind of maiden of, or the spring of, like, wondering and curiosity and, like, looking at, like, what exists and who am I now? And, about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I also really love the kind of contemplation and quiet reflection without the need to do anything with it, and to just be with it and sit on stuff and go, how do I feel about this, you know? And I think it's so gorgeous that people like you exist, and that, you know, I also am good friends with Lisa Lister and talk about her and her work quite a bit as well. And so I just think it's so cool that more and more people are getting access to this wisdom and knowledge and being able to apply it in their own lives and to themselves.
Yeah, women have to know they weren't created to just be happy, perky, vibrant there for everyone else, you know. And like, so that's the interesting thing about me promoting sparkle, because I'm like, women who are feeling very low and very lost and struggling either in their health or business who I work with, you'd think that getting your sparkle back is just getting, you know, the pep in your step and the want to put lipstick on again back, and that might be a part of it, but it's actually bringing that holistic feeling of you as a whole woman, where you have permission to feel every feeling, every thought, every worry, and have flipping amazing days as well, where you, like, you know, just rock it and just life feels effortless, but neither one of those things being championed above the other, and you not being forced to feel like, with someone, you know, I used to have it said a lot to me as well, and I've probably said it to thousands of people as well, and people would say, oh, you're not very fun tonight, or you haven't got energy tonight, or things like that, which then panics you, and you think, okay, I've got to put it on, that's who people want me to be and expect me to be. And again, when you're at a part in your cycle where you're, that takes effort and work, you're depleting your energy for other things, you know, so...
And if we can take ownership of where we are, then no one really cares, right? Like, if you're like, no, I'm in this place. I'm definitely much happier sitting and watching you all have fun tonight. I'm observing, or you know, whatever. And you can own it. Then everyone is actually, their response quite often is, okay, cool. You know, like, it doesn't have to be.
No, and that's why, like, that is why I want women to know about the four phases of their cycle. And like, I have like certain groups of friends, and it's just amazing because we speak to each other in this like hormonal language. Like, I was on the train to see my friend, and she was like, how are you feeling? I was like, I feel flat, I have no energy, I'm looking forward to seeing you, but I'm flat, you know. And she was like, amazing, me too, are you luteal, which is the luteal phase of your cycle? And I was like, yeah, I am in luteal. And she was like, great, we'll just have some nice food, we'll watch TV. And so there'd be no expectation that, even though I hadn't seen her for 6 months, I had to bring my best, most upbeat game, because there...
And isn't it amazing when you're both in that same place, and then you're like, yay, because you want company in the same place. It's just when you have to relax.
Yeah.
If people want to come and find out more about their cycles or working with you or how they can work with you, all of that good stuff, we'll put all clickable links in, always do that. Mm-hmm. But where's the best place for them to come and find you?
Probably if they want more information about their cycles, go to womenwithsparkle.com and go to my blog. There's some articles there that will give you all the information. Or find me on Instagram, and I'll be blabbing about it more coming up. I've got a book coming out next month, which will explain some of it as well.
Which means by the time this comes out, the book will be out. So I will make sure that we've put a clickable link into it as well.
Thank you. Yeah. So like I said, that will all include stuff about your cycles and how to get your sparkle back, essentially.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sally, will you do an I'm an adult but with me?
Yes, I will. Like, no, your brain.
I will laugh while she desperately tries to think of
it. Your brain goes, I'm gonna freeze right now. I'm an adult, but now that doesn't really mean anything to me because I'm just me and there is no big schism between being a child and being an adult. It's all about just existing as the person I was created to be.
I love that. Thank you so, so much. What's mine today? I am an adult, but yeah, I'm really struggling. Sometimes I struggle to find the words.
One of those days, and immediately I would go, what phase are you in?
I'm in a phase of my cycle where I really should have words, and actually I'm just like, no, there are none right now.
And that is being an adult sometimes, isn't there? Sometimes there are just no words.
And I've just spent a couple of days on my own, and what happens when I spend time on my own is I feel everything instead, because I'm naturally hugely kinesthetic. I'm not a wordy person. People always say to me, you're so wordy, you're so good with words. I'm like, it's learned. Like, I'm actually really good at all the things you're not saying. And mostly my best language is kinesthetic. Like, I feel what's going on for people. And I spent too long on my own, clearly.
Look, the people listening and me are now tuning in to feel you're being an adult. Don't you worry about finding the words.
Yay! Okay, thank you so much for coming and joining me. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you for having me. It's amazing to chat with you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.